In this passage, Jesus tells us that a beautiful and sacred building is going to crumble down. If you don't remember the history of this building, let me give you an overview. And please bear with me because I'm going to cover centuries of history very briefly. So the people of God are freed from Egypt and they are in the desert. They wander to Mount Sinai where they are given the Ten Commandments. And the entire time that they are roaming with these Ten Commandments, they're hauling them around in a giant box called the Ark of the Covenant. And it's a beautiful box made of acacia wood, plated in gold. And this box comes to represent the promise between the people and God. They would make temporary worship tents in the desert and place the Ark of the Covenant in those tents, but it wasn't until God gave them the promised land, and then much later, a king, a wise king named Solomon, who decided to build a temple, that there was a vision for a permanent home for this Ark of the Covenant. It's important to know that in early Jewish theology, the thought was that where the Ark lived, that was the best and only place for the people to connect directly to God. So the wise King Solomon built a beautiful temple for the people to worship and pray in and study and for the Ark of the Covenant to live. Centuries go by, and then suddenly there is great devastation. Invaders come in, destroy the temple, and take the people as prisoners. They're exiled from their home and forced into servitude. In their despair, just some 30 years later, people who were left behind try to build some remnant of the temple once again. But it isn't until, again, centuries ahead, just some 60 years before Jesus himself was born, that the architecture of the temple is completely overhauled. In the style of the Roman-esque style of the day, there are the new design includes giant marble stones and balconies, patios, covered walkways, luscious gardens. It's a gorgeous place. And that is where the disciples find themselves at the beginning of our story. A bunch of country fishermen in the big city. Certainly not for the first time in their lives, because it was customary to travel to the temple for Passover. But still, it's a very different energy in this big city, Jerusalem, than where these Galilean fishermen are from. And they ooh and ah at the sights of the building, the giant, beautiful temple. And Jesus says, "This will crumble. This place will fall. This historical place, this sacred place, the place where his people have come to worship for centuries." And Jesus says, not a stone will be left upon another. Imagine someone said that to us about this place, this beautiful building that has been lovingly stewarded. We just celebrated our 175th anniversary here at St. Paul's. This is the place where our children were baptized and loved ones were laid to rest. A place with halls full of tears and laughter, friendship and love. It is as unfathomable to us that this place would fall as it was to the disciples. And still, there are times in our lives when suddenly the bottom drops out, where things are worse than we thought could ever be possible. Some people spend their whole lives like this, on the edge of disaster after disaster, stuck in systems of poverty and oppression where they can't catch a break. Others are trapped in dangerous places surrounded by wars or famines, brutal weather. These people expect disaster. And then there are others of us where tragedy comes in these unanticipated waves. Those of us who are people of privilege and diligent people, we've planned and we fight to prevent catastrophes, but suffering is inevitable. It touches all of our lives. Roger Nishioka, a professor from Columbia Theological Seminary, says that witnessing calamity and destruction brings a loss of innocence. It takes away our hope that the world is a safe place, that systems will protect us, that our lives even matter or mean anything to God. As scary as all of this sounds, this passage today is a hopeful message. Jesus is reminding us that we are not called to love things as they are and accept them as good. Instead, it is our duty as Christians to imagine things as they could be and to continue to pray for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done. Jesus is telling us that salvation is a process that requires repentance and return before the resurrection. Reading this passage is an invitation to explore how our actions could contribute to others' loss of innocence. How are we complicit in issues like climate change, economic inequality, and oppression of others? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we are being punished with disaster. I'm saying that disaster is a great time to remember that God is committed to healing the world's brokenness. It's a time to remember that through God's grace and love, there are things being made new again. The temple will crumble, but this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. God is in labor to bring the world to salvation, and all things will be made new. Amen.